CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. Just returned from the Mediterranean Basin, from Morocco. You've been wandering, Malcolm. To what end? Good evening.
Good evening to you, John. And we missed you. I'm sorry. The timing didn't work out, but we'll make up for it. I was in Morocco for several conferences, including one remarkable one, the Aladdin Project Conference, which is a gathering of very influential people from Europe, from all over the Middle East. And it began with a promotion of Holocaust education in the Arab world, but has broadened much more to address a lot of the tensions and issues with people of various walks of life, including government officials, Mauritanos, and the Secretary General of the UN, Guterres, and Anthony Blinken has sent messages, and many others who spoke. And the other one was Jewish Africa, which is a remarkable gathering and that focuses on the history, the Jewish history in Africa, which is literally unknown, that goes back 2,000 years. And we had representatives of many countries coming together there, experts, scholars, officials, exploring this and seeing how we learned the lessons of the past for building for the future.
Malcolm, the trip that you took is a small piece of the trip the president's about to take, a gigantic trip to the Middle East. Now, all the attention is on the Gulf. However, he's also going to be in Jerusalem, and he's also going to have occasion to witness what has happened with the Palestinians and Hamas. Is all that significant for Israeli politics, the visit by the president?
Absolutely. And it's true, the focus is only on Saudi Arabia because of the president's earlier comments. But the visit to Israel is very significant and deemed so. He will also participate in a meeting of the Gulf Council while he's in Saudi Arabia. It's anticipated. A lot of this is still in flux. But the visit to Israel is definite, and he's going there to reaffirm the special U.S.-Israel relationship and talk about Israel's security. But he's also going to visit the Palestinian Authority, which is taking advantage of the visit. He tried to announce that he wanted to announce the elevation of the U.S. envoy, special envoy to the Palestinians with an office in Jerusalem, and the PA, and Mr. Abbas in particular, told him not to. He said they don't want any announcements, they don't want anything. The U.S. is putting pressure on Israel not to do anything that could in any way create some tensions in the region, even responding to provocations that they are concerned about. And I think that the visit will hopefully lead to strengthening of ties, and that the president may try to encourage Saudi Arabia-Israel ties to be more formalized, even if it's not full recognition. But that's hopefully going to be part of the agenda as well.
The president is also visiting what you'd have to say is a region that is in between. Is Iran going to participate in the JCPOA, or is it not going to participate? Is that part of the conversation in Israel as well? Because we know it's a conversation here in Washington.
It's very much a part of the conversation, even a dominant factor in the conversations in Israel, which obviously faces the threat. And there's been all sorts of events, strikes and counterstrikes, the Iranians sabotaging phone lines and cyber attacks and all sorts of other things. And Israel, and so there have also been some mysterious incidents involving members of various parts of the IRGC who are responsible for attacks abroad, including on Jewish attacks, and scientists involved in the development of the nuclear program. They claim that maybe they were poisoned, but there's no proof yet about what actually happened. And a Colonel Hassan Sayyad Hodayi in Tehran, who was, we remember, killed a while ago. So there have been various incidents that have gotten the attention of Iran, as well as the internal demonstrations, which are growing all the time with no coverage virtually in the West. And they continue to concoct all of these lies and distortions. I mean, the charge is well documented that the particles, uranium particles, enriched particles were found, and they never explained. Now, all of a sudden, they submitted documents to UN saying it's all concoction, that this wasn't true, that it wasn't, that they were subversives who planted these things when that was not at all possible to be part of the explanation. So for Iran right now, They have a lot of internal problems that they have to face, the economic conditions, the domestic situation. And at the same time, they're fighting the IAEA, removing the cameras, other provocative actions, and at the same time continuing to ship weapons to Iraq and to Syria to be passed on to Hezbollah. And Israel has to try to disrupt those shipments for its own protection.
You mentioned the United Nations. I've learned, Malcolm, that the High Commissioner for Refugees, Human Rights, Michelle Bachelet, has established a permanent committee on inquiry of Israeli and Palestinian affairs. What does that mean, Malcolm?
This is a very dangerous development. And I mean, people dismiss the UN as a rule. They don't care about what happens there. And it is a mistake because this commission, which already issued a first report, even though they haven't really functioned, is a one-sided slam against Israel. There's no other country that has ever had a commission appointed with unlimited budget, no deadline, stating already that they're going to go to the International Criminal Court with charges. It's a vehicle, an anti-Israel vehicle. Melpalay, the head of the commission, has been always hostile to Israel, and that violates UN standards that people who are appointed to such commissions are supposed to be neutral and not have a history of hostile statements and activities, which she and the others do. And it's quite—it's a very disturbing on so many grounds. Members of Congress have come out against it on both sides of the aisle, and it goes even to the obligation to investigate what they call root causes of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, which is going to lead to BDS claims and apartheid claims and all the things, the usual propagandistic lines that we've seen come out of the UN. And it is not harmless when people, you know, say Rumshmum and try to dismiss. This is clearly to discredit Israel's designation. It's going to try and enlist NGOs and others in the campaign against Israel. And they even cite the Goldstone report, which Goldstone has repudiated himself. So you see what the orientation of this is, and something that I'm afraid we're going to be visiting very often. 22 countries came out against it, including the United States, UK, Canada, Germany, Holland, Austria. You notice democracies signed a statement condemning the report that the commission issued already, and I think it'll lead to more divisiveness in the UN.
There's a mystery in Buenos Aires, Malcolm. This is the kind of story you love. There's
yeah,
a
true.
Very large cargo craft, we believe, originated with Mahan Air, which is a sanctioned Iranian enterprise. It was in Caracas, then it was in Buenos Aires. It took off and reached Uruguayan airspace and was refused, so it landed again in Buenos Aires. There were passengers on board. I believe their passports have been borrowed or taken by the authorities. What the heck is going on?
So this is a very interesting story, and I know it's one you love also.
Oh, I do.
And
I do.
It's really up your alley, because this is a Venezuelan-owned Boeing 747, which had a load of automotive parts and five Iranians on board, who were seized and are still being held by Argentina because of U.S. sanctions, because they're all subject. They had ties to the Quds Force of Iran. But the plane itself was originally owned by Mahan Air. And having an unusually large crew of 17, including these five Iranians, raised a lot of questions. It's operated by Emtresur Cargo Line, which is Venezuelan state-owned. But it's interesting that this is the only flight that they have. And this is the only plane, is the one they purchased from Mahan Air, which is under U.S. sanctions. And this plane did have a circuitous route stopping in Mexico and then wanting to go to Paraguay. And it stopped in Paraguay on the way there and was supposed to fly Buenos Aires and got diverted to Cordoba, and finally reaching Buenos Aires. But it's very interesting to see that Argentina, which has had such close ties, and remember the bombings and everything in Argentina, that they are taking this kind of a bold action in seizing, holding the plane, which still remains in Buenos Aires, and the Iranians associated with Quds Force who are on it. This is only the first chapter.
I mentioned, Malcolm, we had an assassination in Colombia recently by bad actors who were hired by outside hands. I just mentioned that there's a deal of intrigue involving Hezbollah and its Iran master in South America right now. And so when an Iranian plane shows up on Buenos Aires, You get to use your imagination. Now we go.
And it came at a time when Maduro, the president of Venezuela, signed a 20-year deal with Iran in Tehran at the same time.
Finally, we have 30 seconds. In Boston, there's a mapping going on by the BDS movement. To what end?
This is very disturbing. It's blatant anti-Semitism. It's a BDS group that started a mapping project of Jewish institutions, individuals in the Boston area, and they say that they're responsible for Israeli crimes against Palestinians. This is a vicious and pernicious labeling and scapegoating of the Jews. It's aroused the anger of many people across the board, even some who are not known to be so pro-Israel, but recognized that this is the kind of activity that's totally unacceptable. These are people who do not want a state of Israel. They're not looking to better anything. They labeled major organizations, including rabbinic groups and philanthropists and even left-leaning advocacy groups were named, and they're mapping the Jews of a whole state right. to make them targets.
Malcolm Hoenlein, Conference of Presidents. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.